That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Wednesday. It is the middle of the week. It's hump day. Such an important day to commemorate. Mm-hmm. Here at The Toast and nationwide, honestly.
Globally.
Why limit ourselves to just the States?
No, I think the whole world should be commemorating hump day.
All the cameras coming out for a global affair.
All right.
That's what hump day is.
A global affair.
Yep. How's your hump day so far?
You know what? So far, it's better than my Tuesday.
That's good.
For a number of reasons. I got to sleep until my normal hour this morning.
Good.
And I'm wearing a cardigan that I love from a sister that I love.
Yeah.
I've got these new maternity jeans on. I like my outfit.
So fabulous to feel that way.
Because I like it. So I'm feeling really hopeful and excited.
Wow. It's also Wednesday, which means it's the Vanderpump Rules finale. And honestly, like, I'm fucking ready.
No, it's like, it might as well be on my Google Calendar, the way that I've, like, scheduled for this. Like, oh, I can't go out to dinner tonight.
No, shit, I just realized I have an event tonight.
But I heard you have an event tonight.
Yeah, it's at 7.
I heard about it from Margo.
Yeah.
That you guys are going to an event.
Yes.
Without me.
You're more than welcome to come. But, like, now I'm thinking, what time is Vanderpump Rules on?
9.
Okay, I'll be home by 8:30. Like, I have to get out of there in time. I forgot about that.
You have to watch the other episode then before you go.
I do. Good
Your
call.
Your big plan of a back-to-back.
I have something to share with you that I found extremely interesting.
Okay.
I actually took a picture of it. So I finished Andy's book last night, and it was great. Like, I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. I don't know if he necessarily needed to write another book. There was really nothing major that happened or real lesson he learned or whatever. But on the topic of Meghan Markle, I was really surprised that when we reported on that thing, they didn't include... She was brought up twice in the book, and the second time was much more interesting. The first time was when they recorded their podcast episode together, and the second time is when the podcast episode actually came out. Andy was definitely pissed, okay? So they basically sat and chatted for an hour, but they cut it down to 20 minutes because it was Judd Apatow, Trevor Noah, everyone got 20 minutes. And he actually said they had like a really nice chat over that hour, and then they chatted afterwards, just like gossiping. He wouldn't share like what it was, but they really connected. And he was really proud of himself because he got to throw in a question for her about Oprah, where she had basically said, we never watched it. And that's why when he quoted, were you silent or silence? He was like so proud of himself. She really didn't know what he was talking about because she didn't watch it.
But she was there when Oprah
asked. But it didn't feel like a major moment like it did to us. Like it just caught on. So when the episode came out, this was his diary entry. Meghan Markle's podcast came out and it was interesting to see how they produced it. She narrates it, which is an effective device, especially if you're cutting an hour down to 20 minutes, which she did. However, in that narration, she talks about what a tough conversation this was for her, mentioning that she has conflicting feelings about the housewives. I thought it was interesting that she said that in narration, but didn't discuss it with me head on. Wouldn't that have made for a more dynamic conversation? She cut out the Oprah conversation and me saying, were you silent or silenced? And left in the part where she busted me for having forgotten meeting her in the pre-Duchess days. So like she was shady and he was pissed. Like it's actually, he's right. Like it would have been like an interesting dynamic conversation. She has conflicting feelings about the housewives. I'm sure in some way as it pertains to like modern day feminism or whatever.
No, for sure. And that's just to me like such a lame take. And I feel
it's a bad take. I agree. Gloria Steinem, when she was on Watch What Happens Live, being like, you know, housewives is bad for women. Like, it's not.
It's
I don't agree
like
with that.
It's just like the low hanging fruit of takes. It's like saying the Kardashians are bad for women. Like, I don't think that's true. I think women can handle themselves. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Housewives and you're inspired, great. And if you're disgusted, great. And if you're entertained, great. Like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Also, like, if you really want to dig into it, Housewives has given a lot of dependent women independence.
Yeah.
Not through traditional means by any means. Right. But... yeah, no, there's a lot of women who came on the show who literally were like under their husband's thumb who are now their own people.
Yeah, no, I feel like when Melissa Gorga was on our podcast for the first time, she was like, you should have seen me like back in the day, like such a housewife in the traditional sense, mm-hmm. like literally no money of my own, like just waited for my husband to come home, wipe the kids' asses. And I think that's like a lot of the growing pains we see on her in her marriage on the show, like have to do with like this new journey of her. And she was like, I meet so many women who like were in the same. So I agree, like the whole take on like being, you know, is Housewives controversial for feminism and the modern woman. Like, I think it's such a bad take, but to like say it in the narration and then you get the guy. You get the guy who's like creator of this universe. You get him for an interview on your podcast and you have obviously like a conflicting feeling and you're not going to bring it up.
Right. Like, and that would be an interesting conversation. And it's also, even if you do feel that way, either say it or don't say mm-hmm. it. Don't say it when he's not there, but have a nice conversation with him when he is there.
So I feel as though actually my takeaway from the book is that him and Meghan Markle are actually not on good terms.
I feel like they're not on bad terms, but they're not on good terms considering like they did a podcast together. I feel like everyone we've ever podcasted with, like you're on good terms.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Unless like something happens and you put in something that you said and et cetera.
So I did really like the book. If you're like a Bravo fan, there's like a lot of interest. I was always just very interested like what Andy's relationships with the housewives are mm-hmm. personally. And I feel like from his first book to now his last, he's gotten way more comfortable like having actual friendships with certain women. I think for a while he remained like so untouchable because he didn't want the women to compare. But he's like so close with Tamara. It's so crazy. And so close with Garcelle. Like I did not see that because she's like so new to the universe. But I think he just really likes her and they have like a real friendship. Like they talk on the phone all the time and it's just interesting.
That is interesting. Well, I'm glad you read it. Thank you for keeping us abreast.
Yeah, it's a good book. Like it's not going to change your life, but like it's good.
That's okay. It doesn't have to.
No, a great beach read. Like it really, there were a couple of times where like I genuinely like cackled. Like he's very funny.
Great.
Yeah. I also found it interesting. Like he is really comfortable like sharing moments where he's acting like a diva bitch celebrity, like screaming at people or like waiting in line and being impatient, like, and he like just kind of owns those moments. I feel like I would be surprised, like if, you know, you think he would get like shit for that, you know?
Yeah, but maybe he's just trying to get out ahead of it.
Maybe like this was actually a crazy moment where he was in DC and he went to that hotel bar that Chris, Candace's husband from Potomac, is the manager of.
Okay.
And so he went there, A, because he's heard it's a good spot, and B, he thought, you know, he could get, like, VIP treatment. Turns out her husband had recently been, like, you know, let go or left the job. But he still went, and, like, they couldn't find a place to stand, and they finally found a place to stand at this packed bar, and this, like, manager or, like, hostess comes over and, like, yells at them, and Andy was just like, Andy had it. And he snapped. And then security came and escorted him out and said that the hostess is crying. And it was just like this crazy saga where like he yelled at this girl and like the girl was like obviously like overtly sensitive. But Andy like totally owned the fact that he made the girl cry and like it ruined his whole week.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a situation like that is so that if that story ever like gets out, he's like, yeah, no, I did that. I felt bad about it. I've already accepted accountability.
Yeah. It was very introspective. It was good.
But it's crazy that doesn't like make it to Dumois.
Well, so then he did bring up Dumois. He was like, I was in the Hamptons.
The James Corden's eggs are front page news.
Right. Okay. So he was in the Hamptons and he was at this coffee shop that was taking forever. He like just got a tea. I think he was sick and he just like, oh my God, he was like pacing. He was like, I looked like a lunatic, like talking to myself, just like wondering when my tea was going to come. And he eventually stormed out without the tea because it was a $6 tea and it never came, whatever. And it ended up on Dumois. Not that he was like being an asshole, just that he appeared to be in a rush and left without his tea.
That's a nice spin.
Yeah, it was pretty good for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was what I did.
Very nice.
Yesterday, I was just like, you know what? Like, fuck this. I was not in the motherfucking mood to answer an email, to put 1 ounce of work in. I sat down at 2:00 after the toast and I was like, fuck it. And I just read the whole day. I was just like feeling like playing hooky.
You were just like turning to literature in your time of need.
I forgot that I could play hooky, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I'm happy for you. I was taken down by my tiredness and my allergies yesterday.
Everyone's talking about the allergies.
The allergies, they're not good. We were in the park And it was just a lot of pollen, like pollen falling everywhere.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but it was okay. Other than that, it was a nice day.
And then I went out to dinner and I did not see Taylor Swift.
Well, I figured if you did, one, I would know at this point, and two, like that's what you would lead with. But how is your adventures in spotting Taylor Swift going? What's the plan for the rest of the week? Yesterday was like your big opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. So let me tell you how yesterday, like I got played. I chose a hotspot for dinner. I kept my eyes on alert. And I would say 20 minutes into my meal, guess who walks in?
I know the answer. So
Gigi Hadid.
Right.
So I was like, oh my God, my plan is working. Taylor's obviously coming to meet her. I thought, I was feeling on top of the world. I was so like feeling not present in my dinner because I just had like my eyes and ears open to the restaurant. And then, you know, days turned into nights and nights turned into months and Taylor never showed up. And according to my research, Taylor didn't leave the house last night, which I guess is almost better than like if I chose the wrong restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are you going to keep trying to go back to that place like for the rest of the week? Because she probably will go there one night this week.
I just can't. Or you just like, I have to watch Vanderpump Rules tonight.
Right. Tonight's a wash.
I have an engagement party tomorrow night uptown. Mm. Taylor's not going to be uptown. So I just feel like I tried.
Okay.
I got dressed and I stayed alert. And nothing came of it.
It's only Wednesday. Lemon, it's only Wednesday.
Lemon, it's only Wednesday. I'm like, why are you calling me Lemon? But I get it.
Like you literally got dressed and stayed alert one night when you went to dinner.
No, I gave it a shot. Like that's what I'm saying. Like I'm not, this is not going to be like, I'm not going to scavenge. Like it's fine.
And maybe like you'll stay alert but not dressed. So you could just, if someone says, oh my God, Taylor's at
so-and-so,
you run.
No. No, it has to be like, I have to be there. You know, it has to be like meant to be.
Okay.
It's okay. I feel like I gave it a triumphant attempt and I'm okay with it.
Okay. I'm glad I'm okay with that too then. I'm not going to pressure you.
Thanks.
I'd like to, you should work, like take care of yourself.
Right, you know? Right. I can't be like running out of the house pulling my hair out every night when I hear Taylor's on 14th Street, you know?
Yeah.
Think of the Ubers I'll spend money on.
It'll the traffic.
I'll end up pulling my hair out.
And that would be bad.
And I don't have a lot of hair to spare these days. It's also Wednesday, which means it's Dear Toasters. We've got three great submissions from girlies who need us, Jax.
And we're here for you. We're always here for you, but especially on Wednesdays.
Yeah. I wouldn't say we're always here for you. No, I'm kidding. We're here for you on Wednesdays.
Yeah. That's where you can find us.
So it's deartoasters@gmail.com.
So I think without further ado.
Is it?
Yeah, we actually have really good stories today. Okay. And I'm really excited to chit-chat with my girl, a swirly turdy.
Yeah.
Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that I'm going to chit-chat with my girly swirly turdy about that you need to know this morning.
Thanks, Jax. Today's episode is brought to you by Court Furniture. Life is always changing. Your furniture should be able to change with it. With Court Furniture Rental, you can get the furniture and services that you need to help make every life transition as seamless as possible. Whether you're making a short-term, long-distance move, relocating, starting a new chapter, or you simply just don't want to be tied down to owning furniture, Court has a solution for you. Simply pick the furniture you want, then their expert team delivers it and sets it up. The furniture will be there when you need it and gone when you don't. Get furniture on your own terms with Court Furniture Rentals. You can visit court.com/podcast to learn more and find the furniture package that fits your life. So true. Being an owner of furniture is just like so, like you're so tied down.
Yeah.
You can't live a spontaneous, carefree lifestyle.
No, it's such a commitment.
It's such a commitment. Like who has the space, the storage, like all that. Court gets rid of all of those things.
Styles change, trends change.
That's another thing. And they really have beautiful pieces at Court.
Apartments change. Then you're stuck with this L-shaped couch.
Right. And it's like, what if my new living room can't accommodate an L-shaped couch?
Right.
With Court, you don't have to worry about that. You press play whenever and wherever you want. With Court Furniture Rental, you rent furniture when you need it and return it when you don't. They take care of all of the hassle, all of the logistics, all of the boring stuff. So again, visit court.com/podcast, that's CORT.com, to learn more and find the furniture package that fits your needs. Court.com, CORT.com/podcast. Make room for something new without leaving a mess behind to clean up. They'll pick up what you've rented without lifting a finger, and by renting, you're supporting a sustainable way of living. Today's episode is also brought to you by Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events should not be stressful. And I feel like these days it's always like a rat race, a hamster wheel, anxiety inducing. But with Game Time, it's not. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll actually have. Yeah, I feel like these days, like, we're not even focusing on the actual enjoyment, the fun of the event. We're just, like, panicked, waiting in queues. Game Time is a really fabulous app that ever since I downloaded, I find myself, like, going to more things. I'm like, oh, it's Tuesday. Let me see if Billy Joel is at Madison Square Garden. Like, it's just the fact that you have it and they make it so stress-free, you'll find yourself going to more events.
More spontaneous.
Yeah, it's like fun to be just like a gal who can throw caution to the wind and like go see Simple Plan this weekend or something,
and
you
say
know?
Say yes to life.
Exactly. If you're in your saying yes to life era, Game Time is an absolute necessity. So Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. You get exclusive... The truckers for Game Time. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. You know, while the Knicks were still in the playoffs, Game Time was an indispensable resource for Ben. He got a lot of his tickets from Game Time. Unfortunately, they are no longer in, but that doesn't diminish the important role Game Time played in Ben's life. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code TOAST for $20 off your purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code TOAST for $20 off on the Game Time app. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Now, our first story is a tragedy.
Oh.
The new photos.
It's a tragedy.
The new photos for It Ends With Us, the Colleen Hoover book turned movie, have dropped. We see Blake Lively fully transformed as redhead Lily Bloom, and fans are pissed.
So if you've seen these photos, they're all over the internet. If you haven't seen, just Google. You know, they were paparazzied on the street. We saw Ryle, who was played by Justin Baldoni. We saw Lily, played by Blake Lively, in character. So it was the first time we're seeing her in wardrobe, in hair. She has red hair. And it's giving Brave.
It's tragic.
The outfits, the hair. It is, to say the least, shocking.
It's shocking and it's offensive to the fans. It's offensive to the book, too. And it's offensive to Blake Lively, like the most stylish woman on the planet. Who would put her in these clown outfits?
I mean, that big brown dress.
The socks and the shoes. The bag, the shirt tied at the top.
Yeah, no, honestly, it felt like a prank.
Every item is bad.
Worse than the next.
There's not like a coat that ties it together.
And
like,
I have to say,
I don't remember Lily Bloom as being a freak.
No. She was like this like really kind of cute, gardeny, like
girly.
Girly. Yeah, no, it's so shocking. And I will say, like, whenever a book turns into a movie, there's, you know, people are hypersensitive. They're always on alert. They're criticizing. And I feel like a lot of the times it's unfair. Like, whenever photos come out, people, you know, freak.
I disagree.
This is so fucking next level.
I don't feel like when photos come out of a movie turning, of a book turning into a movie, that we are usually disheartened. Like when we saw Mila Kunis.
So I was going to bring that up too, because that was very exciting.
Just like walking down the street and it was a regular dress.
Like, no, but like people who are so obsessed with a certain book, like they're always going to be sensitive. And like, I can understand that. And I just want to say the backlash to these photos, that is not that. That is not that.
No, this is warranted.
This? I was shocked. I mean, I don't know what's worse. The hair? Or the clothes. Probably the clothes, but what's with the hair?
I don't know.
Why? What's that girl's name from Brave? I'll Google it.
It's like not something.
It's like a weird name.
Yeah, not weird, but it's like not.
Common.
Like it's like something from Poldark. A courage. It's Scottish. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean weird Scottish. I wasn't like trying to be offensive. What the fuck is her name? What is it? Merida, yes.
That's not what I was thinking.
Yes. Merida.
I was thinking like Demelza from Poldark, because the hair is giving Demelza too.
It's giving Merelda. What do we say her name is?
Merida.
Merida. Why? Why is it like that?
I don't know.
Like such a weird take.
It's offensive to everyone. It's offensive to the readers. It's offensive to Colleen. It's offensive to Blake. It's offensive to redheads.
It's offensive to Blake.
Like, and she's such a stylish queen. Like, she knows that what she's...
She's just... But when you're an actor, like, you're just an actor. You do what you're told, you know? I don't blame Blake. I don't know who the fuck I'm blaming.
Blake. wardrobe, but also someone at the top has decided to ruin this movie.
Yes.
Maybe like someone at the top is like old high school friends with Colleen Hoover's yes. arch nemesis and is like, I'm going to take her book and I'm going to ruin it.
I'm taking the Hoovers down.
I don't know if Colleen knows that this is happening to
She's
her.
Being set up.
And I feel like she just is so immensely grateful for all these opportunities of that course. She can't see that like sometimes something like seems really great, but it's compromising the integrity of your work.
I know. And I'm just so confused because, you know, the casting wasn't what we had hoped. But that doesn't mean that there's no hope
like,
for the
Blake
film.
Blake Lively is like an amazing, gorgeous actress right. who we love to see on the screen. So you know what?
So they went with a star.
So we'll deal with it.
When people thought maybe they should have went with like young, undiscovered talent. Maybe she wasn't the age range we thought. Whatever. Like none of it was not.
I'll never be like mad about seeing Blake Lively.
No. And none of the casting was really like something they couldn't come back from.
Yeah.
These were all professional hired actors. Like they can make a movie. But I don't know. What I'm seeing now, I don't know.
It's sabotage.
It's so, like, let's just call a spade. Like, those clothes were fugly. Like, what the fuck?
Fugly.
She's a girl. If you read the book, she, like,
she
loves.
She looks like she's on the set of Little Women.
Yes, yes. If you read the book, you know, like, Lily, the character, like, loves flowers. She loves beautiful things. She would dress in, like, pastel colors and, like, you know, beautiful, bright materials. Like, what is this duty brown dress?
From what I remember about the book, like, her wardrobe wasn't
a factor
at all. So she probably like wore jeans and a t-shirt, yeah. like shopped at Zara.
It's
like,
so true.
She's not, her wardrobe is not a
she's
character,
not a model.
But
like,
this is fucking distracting.
It's destructive.
It's destructive.
I was literally like guffawed. I've been using that word for like 3 weeks. Is that even the right word?
Yeah.
I was absolutely flabbergasted and guffawed. Like, I was shook when I saw that. I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, maybe this is her, you know, break clothes. Like, maybe she's on break and she's wearing a big duty brown dress.
Maybe. But then also the dress gets a t-shirt put on top.
Yes, with a knot in it.
At some point. And the t-shirt says, like, Earhart to?
I don't know.
With a knot in it. And then a painter's smock on top.
It's how really I would describe bad. It. It's really bad. The hair is bad. Everything is bad.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. And I often think like when there's like universal backlash, I'm like, people are being dramatic. They're not.
No.
Honestly, they're not being dramatic enough.
No, they're not. Especially this book has such a cult following. Like if you search it on Tumblr, like there's so many fan edits. Like yep. the movie produces itself. Like
it's
the
so
visuals
true.
Are there. It's really not that hard. It's not like you have to create like the world of Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Like it's just a couple of good looking people in an apartment.
In Boston.
Yeah, with flowers.
Right. Flowers.
That's it. That's it's literally so true. It. And it, you chose this.
It doesn't need like a different creative lens.
It doesn't need what's that woman's name from Sex and the City?
Patricia Fields.
It doesn't need, like, the wardrobe is not a factor.
No, it's really not. It's just regular people with regular jobs.
You don't need to recreate the wheel. You just need to let the story tell itself.
Yeah, it's bad.
Bad.
We'll keep you updated. This, like, every time something comes out about this movie, it's, like, worse than the next. I don't know what we're going to hear next, but I'm scared.
I know. I'm scared. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Which is some good hair news.
Oh, yeah.
Beyonce teases a new hair care launch. She said she can't wait for you to experience what she's been creating. So Beyonce took to Instagram on Tuesday, less than a week after kicking off her tour.
I'm like, who did she kick out?
To tease the launch of her new hair care line. So the first photo in the carousel was of her posing in a mirror while styling her natural curls. And then the second picture was a throwback photo of her getting her hair braided in a salon chair. Then she had the third photo as like a statement written for her. How many of y'all knew my first job was sweeping hair in my mama's salon? Destiny's Child got our start by performing for clients while they were
so
getting
cute.
Their hair done. She said, I was exposed to so many different kinds of entrepreneurial women in her salon. I saw firsthand how the ways we nurture and celebrate hair can directly impact our souls. I watched her heal and be of service to so many women. Having learned so much on my hair journey, I've always dreamed of carrying on her legacy. She ended the note with an exciting message saying how she can't wait for you to experience what she's been creating with her first initial and a heart. So
cute.
Hair by Beyonce.
I feel like based on the letter and then the visuals, it's like going to be targeted for black hair, which honestly, like, I feel like Beyonce is going to become like a billionaire five times over. Like, this is the best idea.
Yeah. I wasn't before yesterday, like thinking like, what business does Beyonce need to get into? She should get into the like beauty game, just like, you know, how everyone else is doing. But this is a no brainer.
Yeah, no. And I think a lot of times when celebrities announce like a hair or a makeup. Skin or makeup, it feels like very cash grabby and like dumb. But this feels like extremely on brand. I think like so many girls look up to Beyonce and like style their hair after Beyonce. So I think this is a great idea. I saw the craziest TikTok of Beyonce's mom.
Okay.
Somehow she was at one of the concerts. She got like stuck in GA. She's like literally behind the barricades, like with people. And she's talking to security, and like literally security, like the people behind the barricade and security in front of the barricade, like hoist her up in the air and like put her over the barricade. She like got lost at the concert.
That's crazy.
Before the concert had begun.
But I'm glad security recognized her and like didn't make her go around.
You know how many people probably come up and say, hey, I'm Beyonce's mom, let
right,
me in.
Right.
Yeah. Thank God she's like a person of a public knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
People are like, this is Beyonce's mom. How did she get stuck?
I don't know.
She honestly looked hilarious. Like she would be like a funny gal.
That's really funny. I hope we get more info on this soon.
I know. Like let's brainstorm names.
Mm.
Believe. It's obviously going to have like a B in it.
It's going to have, you're right about that.
And did I hear, she's closing down Ivy Park.
I didn't hear that.
I think I did.
Oh, interesting.
Which I feel like was really never, like it never felt like the right business to me for her.
No, but I feel like it did really well while it was around.
Yeah, because people just love Beyonce. But let me see if
but
I just
make sure.
But
it wasn't like the obvious thing she should be doing.
Adidas to end clothing partnership with Beyonce a month ago.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't feel like it was like a good business call. Like when I think of Beyonce, I don't think of athleisure.
Mm-hmm. It was cute athleisure, like as an athleisure company on its own.
It was
like,
fine.
It was good, whatever.
I don't know. It just didn't feel like a match. Like this is a much better suited business match for Beyonce, in my opinion.
I wonder, well, first of all, we could also look to like song titles for perhaps inspiration.
Oh, that's a good call. Or like song like lyrics.
Renaissance hair.
Oh, that's pretty cool, yeah. But there's no B in it.
No, but there might not be a B if it's like an iconic Beyonce.
Yeah, lyric or lyric. Reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like the Becky with the good hair.
No, she would never. She would never.
But not Becky with the good hair, but just like Good Hair by Beyonce.
I kind of love that.
Good Hair by Beyonce.
But I think in that lyric, good hair, I think. I don't know, actually.
But good hair, like whatever it meant
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
Good hair is like.
Good hair. It's still two
look
words.
Look it up in the dictionary. Yeah. It means hair that is good.
Right. Good that is hair. Yeah. Good Hair is actually like not a bad name.
No, not at all.
And obviously since she's like teasing it, I think it's probably like ready to go.
I would hope so.
It's not like, you know, years away. I think we're like weeks away from finding out.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I love a launch.
So do I. A hard launch. This was soft.
This is extremely soft.
Yeah.
But exciting nonetheless.
Exciting nonetheless.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Speaking of excitement. For Speak Now TV, Taylor Lautner says that he feels safe, but he's praying for John.
Aren't
as the release for Taylor Swift's third re-recorded album, Speak Now, Taylor's Version, looms this summer, there's one man with romantic ties to the singer who feels confident about revisiting the era ahead of the drop, Taylor Lautner. He laughed when Today.com asked how he's feeling with less than 2 months before he, along with millions of Swifties, are set to revisit 2009 and 2010. At the time, the actor was in his... What is this? At the time, the book Twilight was at its peak. He, too, was in the spotlight for his personal life. Like, just get to the fucking point.
No, just say he was in Twilight. Thanks.
Anyways, he's back to December on Speak Now. He said, yeah, I think it's a great album. Yeah, I feel safe.
Yeah, of course.
Praying for John.
The Swifties know, like, Taylor Lautner is the least problematic ex. He's sleeping, you know, very soundly at night, knowing this album is on its way.
No, and Speak Now is to John Mayer what Red was to Taylor Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, and technically what Fearless was to...
Joe Jonas.
Yeah, but the thing is, and why it's different, it's like there was no bloodshed with Joe Jonas, because like, A, Joe and Taylor are friends, and at the end of the day, like, Joe didn't do anything to Taylor. Like, yeah, he broke up with her on the phone, but like, he didn't hurt her. Like, he was like, you know... Jake Gyllenhaal and John Mayer, like, we're all still mad because it's like, you were 35-year-old men, like, taking advantage of this teenager. Like, you're fucking disgusting. Like, we're not going to, like, just let that go.
Yeah, and because it's these, from what it seems, are not isolated incidents. Like, right. Especially with Jake Gyllenhaal, like, there's been, like, even his current girlfriend is
super young.
So much younger than him. Like, it's a pattern of behavior. So I think that Red Taylor's version coming out just, like, highlighted something that has always been true.
Yeah.
And I think with John Mayer, he's very, he's a problematic lover yeah. in general.
We've known.
But I don't know that it's going to be as bad for him, because I feel like everything about John Mayer is known. Like, he's very accountable
it's
for,
actually
like,
so
who
true.
He was in
right.
the past.
He's, like, in his post-womanizer era. He's, like, rehabilitated.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be, like, as shocking as realizing, like, oh, my God, Jake Gyllenhaal is, like,
a freak.
Kind of fucked up.
Yeah. No, that's true. Like, we've been knowing.
Yeah.
About, and he's, like, been open about it, how he, like, took this break from the spotlight. And he's... And on Watch What Happens Live, like, a few times, he always refers to, like, his past life as, like, you know, he's a former womanizer.
Yeah. So, but I also think that what dug Jake Gyllenhaal's grave was All Too Well 10-minute version, because then we got, like, details that we didn't know before.
Yeah.
So it would have to be vault tracks that would bury...
That would add color.
John Mayer.
Yeah. I mean, also, with John Mayer, I think everyone's on high alert, because would've, could've, should've, from Midnight, people believe is also about John Mayer. So it's, like... We're actually still getting new information on the saga.
Yeah.
So
I just think John Mayer will weather the storm better. I feel like he might even lean into it a little bit, whereas Jake Gyllenhaal, like, probably won't sit down for an interview unless you swear on the Bible that you won't ask about it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think you're right. Like, 'cause John Mayer, like, has responded. He wrote Paper Dolls, and that was, like, his big response years later. But then this year at a concert, he performed it, and he... gave, like, a little bit, like, he spoke about it before. It was nothing crazy was said, but he acknowledged it, which was crazy for the community. yeah, I don't think it'll be, like, complete silence from John, because I think he feels confident in the fact that he's not a bad guy anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's, like, he's an open book. Whereas yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal, I feel like, has this, like...
Facade
of a reputation so to uphold.
So that's actually, like, an amazing point.
So that's the difference to me. I think John will be fine.
I think John will be fine too, because it's also just a part of his image. That's why, like, people, like, love him, problematic king. It's like Jake Gyllenhaal is supposed to be this, like, perfect Hollywood actor with, like, yeah. this pristine reputation. And John is, like, bad boy musician. And I think for a lot of people, like, the more bad things we learn about him, like, the more we love him, which is so fucked.
Yeah.
But I think is the truth for a lot of his fans.
But Speak Now is younger than Red Taylor.
Yeah, she was younger.
But is John Mayer younger than Jake Gyllenhaal?
I honestly think they're, like... Actually, I would think maybe John Mayer...
But, like, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
John Mayer and Taylor... Oh, John Mayer's 45. Okay.
Damn.
John Mayer and Taylor, what was the...
relationship.
Extent and longevity of their relationship? And Jake is 42.
Okay. So their relationship, if I remember correctly, began as, you know... a mutual respect. Like, of course, Taylor knew who John Mayer was, and then John Mayer found out who Taylor was really kind of inspired by her songwriting. Mm-hmm. They, like, publicly flirted with each other. Like, he was very complimentary of her. He was dazzled by her. And then I think they worked together to write a song, Half of My Heart. Oh, that's the song I think he performed when he spoke on tour about Taylor, not Paper Dolls, whatever. And during the creative process, you know, they had a brief... but fiery romance. I think Taylor was very excited about, you know, the prospect of a much older, much more successful, probably one of her songwriting heroes. He's one of the greatest songwriters of our time, you know, to show interest in her. And he was like, you know, oh, shiny young thing. And, you know, it's a tale as old as time.
Did they hook up?
I believe they briefly flung. I don't think they were ever in, like, an actual relationship. And I think that was the problem. Like, Taylor was searching for something real and he was, like, fucking around.
Okay.
So if you listen to the lyrics of Dear John, it sounds like he was just kind of, like, playing with her emotions and she was, like, very, you know, into the whole thing.
Okay. And here's a crazy question. Who did Taylor lose her virginity to?
All Too Well.
Jake.
All Too Well is about the scarf, I think a lot of people believe to be a metaphor for the virginity.
And she also, like, has a lyric where she, like, pretty much explicitly says... I would have to Google it. But that's the vibe that I got, which would mean that, like, she didn't have sex with John Mayer.
Because it was before. I mean, it's entirely possible because she was, like, a conservative queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can still, like, have strong feelings.
Yes.
Yes. But I've thought for years, like, who did Taylor lose her virginity to? Which is, like, a disgusting thing to think, I guess. but John Mayer right, or Jake Gyllenhaal. Weird question, but like I feel it's like in the context of the conversation, it's germane. Because Dear John really sounds like the song of a girl who just lost her virginity. And so for a long time, I thought she lost her virginity to John Mayer. And then the floating theory...
Because that would be like really messed up.
Yeah, but then the floating theory was that like All Too Well, the scarf was like a symbol of the virginity. And like Maggie Gyllenhaal actually doesn't have it. She actually just lost her virginity at Maggie Gyllenhaal's house.
And so her virginity is at Maggie Gyllenhaal's house and she can't get it back.
Right, right. And then when Taylor was doing press for the All Too Well 10-minute version, she had been asked by a reporter if the scarf could be a metaphor. And she said yes.
Interesting. So, I love when people ask the right questions. Like, like them asking Taylor Lautner what about he thinks about this. Okay, just pulled up the lyrics because I would love to...
To find the lyric you're referring to.
To find the lyric that I'm referring to. Because it reminds you of innocence and it smells like me. Like, that's... Innocence is virginity, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. But then also, there's really an argument to be made that John Mayer took her virginity. Like, especially would've, could've, should've. God rest my soul, I miss who I used to be, the tomb won't close. And a lot of the could've, would've, should've, listen to me, this is important. A lot of the could've, would've, should've lyrics, it's feel religious. They have like religious elements to it. And you know, she grew up like very conservative. When you lose your virginity, there's like a element of like religious shame to it. Mm-hmm. So the tomb, stained glass windows in my mind, I regret you all the time. I can't let this go. I fight with you in my sleep. The tomb won't close, very religious. Keep on waiting for a sign. And then it's, if clarity is in death, then why won't this die? Living for the thrill of hitting you where it hurts. Give me back my girlhood. It was mine first. That really feels like a lyric about virginity.
Ooh.
And cloaked in this song with like religious references, it feels...
Why do people think it's about John?
It says 19. And when she talks about being 19... Dear John, when she talks about being 19, it is John Mayer. She's letting us know.
Okay, hold on. Let me find what I'm looking for. Something about the lifeless.
There really is an argument in terms of lyrics to be made about either men taking her virginity. And I don't know if this conversation, like speculating on someone's virginity, is like really disgusting and inappropriate because it kind of feels gross.
It does.
So I apologize, Taylor. Like, this is really not cool, but like, I'm just curious.
At least we can take solace knowing she doesn't listen.
So true.
Ugh, why can't I find what I'm looking for?
What are you looking for? Maybe
like
I can help
you. Says something about like her, like
in All Too Well.
In All Too Well, like her life, like her body, like laying there, like. I don't know. Not a crumpled up piece of paper.
Drop in the comments. Who do you think it was?
Yeah. That. Oh my God. That's crazy.
I really don't know. Like, honestly, you found it?
And then you wondered where it went to as I reached for you, but all I felt was shame, and you held my lifeless frame.
That,
I just feel like
good.
That's kind of like how you feel when you lose your virginity to the wrong person.
100%. Arguments to be made on both sides. I really felt
but also
like,
a lot of speculation on all sides.
Yeah, I really feel like could have, would have, should have, like, is the song about losing your virginity too.
I'll have to listen with that in mind.
Yeah. I mean, give me back my girlhood is literally a thesaurus synonym for virginity.
But also now All Too Well, I associate it so closely with the book My Dark Vanessa. I've told you this theory before, which is about like a young girl who like has an affair with her teacher. So I might be like conflating like what that story
means. Yeah.
With this
You're projecting.
Song. I'm projecting.
Yeah. That's possible. But I think the more... In terms of things Taylor has actually confirmed, she did confirm like the scarf is metaphoric. So I do think it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great.
And also, like, Taylor would have been underage, right, with John Mayer?
19?
Oh, yeah, no, sorry. No. This episode is brought to you by Vegamore. We're always trying to do right by our body, so when it comes to our scalp and scalp health, finding a product that actually works and is made with clean ingredients always seems like a trade-off. But with Vegamore, we get products that are made with clean ingredients and give us visibly healthy hair and scalp. So everyone knows, like, I'm kind of like in my bald era. It's really been tough. No, I mean, I'm choosing to say I'm in my regrowth era.
Love that.
With Vegamore, we're seeing visibly thicker, fuller, shinier, longer hair without the harsh ingredients. All Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free. They're never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. So their Grow Essentials kit comes with shampoo, conditioner, a serum. I love the serum. I'll like put it in my hair and just chill for a while. Because I'm doing a lot of things for my regrowth era. And I feel like, obviously, I'm taking vitamins and stuff. But I also like actually putting something like on the hair. It Topical. Just feels like it makes sense. And the growth serum came highly recommended by a lot of you guys. I'm really enjoying the process. I like that it's totally cruelty-free. It's not made with hormones or parabens. And, of course, you're in your clean girl era. So with the shampoo and conditioner.
I love the shampoo and conditioner. I swapped maybe 6 months ago. I realized that my other shampoo and conditioner had perfumes, fragrances, which are no bueno. And I love the Vegamore shampoo and conditioner. It does sometimes feel like if you want to use clean products, you have to sacrifice quality. Not in this situation.
Give yourself the hair you never thought you could have with Vegamore. For a limited time, Toast listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/toast and using code toast at checkout. That's VEGAMOUR.com/toast. Code toast to save 20% off your first order. Vegamore.com/toast. Code toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, because Streis Bros deserve nothing but the best. When you look at bags of dog food, you'll see pictures of bright carrots and juicy steaks. But then you open the bag and you're getting burnt little pellets. Dog food needs some fresh thinking. Eating processed food for every meal is not healthy. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing. So it makes it an ultra processed food. Why don't you try something fresh like The Farmer's Dog? It's real food. Feeding your food the Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and vegetables. It's gently cooked in human-grade kitchens, and it preserves the nutritional value of the food. So Theo has been in his fresh food era for a while now. His breath is so much better. Oh my God. I thought just like all dogs had like vile, disgusting breath. No, like Theo needed to be like a change in his diet. His breath is so much better. He has like so much more energy, really kind of consistent, firm poops. Sorry, not to be gross. His coat is really shiny. There's a lot of health benefits, but the breath thing is really enough for me to switch. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs. It's conveniently delivered on your schedule. Dog people all across the country have ordered millions of meals from The Farmer's Dog. It's never been easier to invest in your dog's health with fresh food. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/toast. That's 50%. If you've been wanting to make the switch to fresh, healthy dog food, it's a real good investment in your dog's health. It has so many health benefits. Now is maybe the sign that you need. You also get free shipping when you go to thefarmersdog.com/toast. Again, that's thefarmersdog.com/toast for 50% off your first box and the free shipping.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you ready for our next story? I really need to get your take on it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to feel.
You really need to get my take? Why? I feel so special.
I need to like flush it out with you.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
We need to like...
So you need me to help you come up with your take?
Yeah.
I sometimes feel that, yeah.
Yeah. Disney's new Little Mermaid seems to contain a dig at Kate Middleton.
What?
Yeah, I read that. I skipped the headline a few times before I clicked it, and I was like, okay, let me see
if it's compelling.
If there's anything here, because also, like, Megan has been known to say, like, she felt like Ariel in The Little Mermaid. She said that on Oprah. It's like one of her favorite movies.
Oh, I don't remember that. Okay.
Yeah. A reviewer who saw an early screening of Disney's new remake of The Little Mermaid tells Page Six that it seems to dip a toe into the Megxit debacle and even contains what appears to be a dig at Kate Middleton. The critic tells Page Six that the film seems to draw a number of subtle yet plausible comparisons between Meghan Markle and Prince Harry on the one hand, and the two lead characters, Ariel, who is black in the new version, and Prince Eric, who is white on the other hand. So that's one. But one scene in particular seems to get pretty literal. Quote, Ariel has sacrificed her voice in order to get to the surface and meet Prince Eric. She can't speak, so he tries to guess her name, they said. Quote, his first guess is Diana. His second guess is Catherine. But after Ariel gives a disgusted reaction, he concludes, okay, definitely not Catherine.
Huh. That does feel... That doesn't feel like a stretch.
It doesn't feel random. The spy says there's nothing in the movie's internal logic to otherwise explain the mermaid's extreme response to the name Catherine. Disney would be disingenuous to imply those names were coincidental, this person said.
I agree. Like, you have to choose of all the names in all the land, you choose Diana and Kate. Like,
right. And meanwhile, in her 2021 interview with Oprah, Megan herself said that she identified with Ariel from The Little Mermaid. She recalled watching the movie during her troubled time in the UK, and she said, I went, oh my God, she falls in love with the prince, and because of that, she loses her voice.
Did you see Meghan Markle out last night?
I did, which we'll talk about.
She looks stunning.
With this.
You know, she just gets better, like, better looking. And he is really not cute anymore.
She looked amazing. He did not look nice.
No, they look like a mismatch. Like, he just looked, like, slobbish with his, like, tie loose.
I thought his outfit was really bad.
Yeah.
And, which, he's
just, like, not, like, he's just, like, aging, like not well.
I honestly, like, barely looked at his face because, like,
it's so not important.
No, it's, like, I'm not going to critique someone's face. Like, fair. What can you do about it? Whatever. But I thought his outfit was just slobbish.
Slobbish. Like, not tailored.
Next to that dress.
And she, she just looked next level.
Yeah.
Okay, but back to this. It definitely feels like 100% like a nod. Maybe it was just like Disney. And, you know, Megan does like work with Disney. She does voiceover work. She has like a big partnership with them. It might have just been like a nod. Like, you saw us and we see you. Like, it doesn't necessarily feel like a dig at Kate, but more so a nod to Megan. That's how I'll choose to see it.
Yes. Agree. Except for the face. Except for the fact that it's a literal dig at Kate and that there's no Megan element, you know, like.
I do also think, like, the names that they chose, like, choosing Diana, like, is weird.
Yeah.
Like, not, like, oh, it's, you know, it's not a coincidence. I just think it's, like, weird to bring up someone's dead mother-in-law. Like,
yeah, unless.
It's an odd.
Does Prince Eric know she, oh, no, she's not, is she a princess? She's becoming. I'm, like, kind of unfamiliar.
So what I was going to say.
With the story.
What I was going to say is I have not seen The Little Mermaid in ages. I'll probably see the new one. So I really, A, need to see the movie because I don't remember the plot, like, whatsoever. And B, I need to see the scene for myself in order to come up with, like, a full thought. But for right now, I'm thinking, yeah, it's definitely a nod to Megan.
It's a little shady.
I'm not really feeling it as, like, I guess because she makes, like, a gross face, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I feel like it's not like they said Camilla, you know?
Right.
Like, Kate is really beloved. Like,
yeah.
Not that Camilla deserves hate either.
No.
You know, she's, like, a little more controversial.
Yeah, no, there's, like, more of an argument to be made.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, and I'd say, like, Elizabeth. Not make a face, but, like, right. These are queenly names.
Right.
Names of queens, princesses.
Yeah, there's so much hype for this movie. It's crazy. I feel like we've been talking about it forever.
Yeah. When does it come out?
I don't know. I thought it was already out, honestly.
No, this is, like, only one person saw it.
Right. It's been under, like, lock and key.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hoopla for the movie.
Hopefully they're not lying about what they saw and, like, getting us in a tizzy for nothing.
No way. They wouldn't do that.
But I just think it's interesting.
Me too.
Our fifth and final story, The Bachelor announces their first ever senior citizen season. ABC has finally announced that The Bachelor Nation is welcoming another spinoff this time. Its contestants will be senior citizens called The Golden Bachelor, which will premiere this fall. It will focus on one lucky older gentleman and age-appropriate female suitors who will compete for his love. In a press release, the new reality series is described as a whole new kind of love story, one for the golden years. The network describes the salt-and-peppered hair, twinkly-eyed, mature gentleman as a hopeless romantic who will be given a second chance at love in the search for a partner with whom to share the sunset years of life. Per the release, the group of women arriving at the mansion have a lifetime of experience, living through love, loss, and laughter, hoping for a spark that ignites a future full of endless possibilities.
Honestly, just, like, knowing what we know about how, like, producers and production, like, treat contestants, like, the thought of these, like, precious older women, like, being subjected to, like, all-night rose ceremonies and, like, you know, manipulation.
No, it can't be like that.
Honestly, this feels like elder abuse.
Wow, that was not going to be my take. Maybe I just, you know, am believing the press hype. I thought it sounded so beautiful and also interesting. Like, just older people are just more interesting and smarter than younger people. And, like, I actually feel like a real love match could come from this. Like, you really know yourself at that age, what you're looking for, like, what you need at this stage of your life. Like, I believe in the process here. But all-night rose ceremonies is elder abuse.
So I actually do agree, like, conceptually, this isn't the worst idea for a show, but I just have no faith in the production company that produces The Bachelor, whoever it is. Like, they stink at everything. If this show had been on Netflix and they did, like, a real experiment, I would trust it more. Like, the idea isn't bad, but I have no faith in anything that airs on ABC, honestly.
That's a good point. I'm sure if it was on Netflix, it would be very good and the elders would be taken care of. I kind of like the idea of them doing, like, typical Bachelor things.
Yeah, like dates.
Yeah, and how, like, kind of corny it is. And I am going to be hopeful about this.
Are you
going to
watch?
Depends on where I'm at in my life.
Right.
I'm open to it.
Yeah.
I would sooner watch that than the next season of The Bachelor.
Oh, my God, in an instant.
It should be called The Gratchler.
The great, great Gratchler.
No, like the the grandparents' yeah. bachelor.
I got it.
The Gratchler.
So brief programming update is that there's a jackhammer outside our window, and we want to be able to give our like full time attention and love to Dear Toasters. We're gonna do Dear Toasters tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that
in a quiet and peaceful environment, so we can mull over your quandaries
and not have like a jackhammer in my brain. That's like the worst.
It's hard to give advice with a jackhammer in your brain.
So I'm so sorry to like cut this episode short today, but it's not our fault. The motherfucking jackhammer's outside. So thanks so much for listening to the Toast of Monday Morning Show. We deliver 1,000 stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, please give us a subscribe, give us a video, thumbs up. We're also available on Spotify, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, Public Radio, everybody gets bugs, all the places where we visit, podcasts, videos, socials, videos, stories, everybody, beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Love ya. Bye.
Love ya. Bye.